Hello and welcome to The Two Tones, starring Tony DeBolfo.
Hello, Tony.
And Tony Moclair. It's great to have your company. It is episode Mike Fitzpatrick of The Two Tones for 2017.
It is indeed. The Rhodes Scholar himself. What a great player for the Carlton Football Club he was.
Indeed he was. Now, Tone, what a weekend. I know it's always fun to quote Frank Thring, especially at the top of an episode, but much to take away from the game. We could have won it. We were up by 10 points at one point.
Well, we were, Tony, and it was rather exciting going into the final change with that lead, and anything was possible, wasn't it? And certainly at that stage of the game, the Carlton players had really taken it to Melbourne, and Melbourne looked quite jittery around that period of the game. Yes, they steadied. Yes, they did what they had to do in the finish, but gee whiz, for you, for me, and for a lot of Carlton people that saw that, you can't help but come away feeling truly buoyed by what you're seeing as this group of players under Brendan Bolton evolves.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. We're talking the second week that a lot of these guys have even played together. There was intensity there. There was shutting down of Melbourne's ball movement because they can move. There was a passage of play where they moved the ball with Hawthorn-like precision.
Yes.
And that was in about the first quarter. And then it was back to Carlton just suffocating that ball movement.
Absolutely. I thought their transitional play out of the back half was fantastic. Mm. You know, Carlton's capacity to switch play to, you know, the far wing, work the ball around and back in, really seemed to catch Melbourne off guard. And full credit to the our defensive group too for really putting the clamps on Melbourne. You know, I don't think that the Demons got a clear run into their forward 50. And full credit to that defensive core for being so tight-knit in the way they performed. There was so much to like, Tony. Full credit to the youth. I think youth of this team that are really standing up for Carlton at the moment.
Name names, Tone.
Well, you know, you can't go past Marchbank and Plowman in defence. You know, the players are gelling so well there at the moment. Also, Wietering, of course. You know, Jakob Wietering. What can we say?
Can I mention my favourite moment of Jakob Wietering?
Go for it.
When the Lewis's hit on Cripps, which decked him. I don't know if time trials have been done, but I think Jakob covered about 40 metres in under 3 seconds.
He did. He did to
and it was magnificent. You're right. He defended his own, and it was, you know, touch one, touch all. It was a bit of the CFMEU in him.
It was lovely to see that, and that was noted, Tony. I had the great fortune to speak to Jakob Wietering after the game, and I alluded to that moment. He said, well, one of our fellas was decked.
Yeah,
so you've got to
down.
Go and fly the flag. And if you have a look at who went in at that time, you had players in there like, you know,
Jack Silvani was
in
right there, in the eye of the storm.
And Matty Wright, who had such a great game, was right in there too. And I think that was just magnificent to see the Carlton players bound together in support of one of their fallen. And it was just one of the many, many positives that, you know, we could take out of that particular Carlton game. I believe that it was the young players that really led the way for Carlton. There were a couple of costly turnovers in the finish that really hurt our cause.
And that was from senior players as well.
Well,
I mean,
well,
there was, you know,
true.
The Doherty rundown, which was unedifying.
It was. But, you know, there were so many things to take away. We, you know, we mentioned Matthew Wright. Matthew Wright, of course, bobbed up with 3 goals. Very, very clever, creative forward.
Yeah.
A hard nut too and a smart player. Has been nominated for Goal of the Year.
Yeah.
So all Carlton members and supporters are urged to jump onto the website and vote for Matty Wright's goal.
Yeah.
A great goal it was.
I would urge just closing the counting then, because nothing's going to beat that goal at all.
Very true. I'd also like to allude to the bravery of Jack Silvani and particularly Dale Thomas. Now, Jack got one of the back pretty early in the piece, came off, had to find his way through the pain and came back on and put his hand up for the club. Dale Thomas was put in that enviable situation of running the same way as the ball.
Yes.
Took that almighty hit that really left him hobbling on his wonky knee. But, and I think he went down to the rooms probably for a jab, came back on and really lifted the team. That you took that telling mark in the pocket and set up that goal to Armfield. And I think he really served as a catalyst for Carlton lifting the tempo, because if you look back to that period of the second quarter, particularly the third, that was Carlton's greatest moments of the afternoon. And he's been under enormous pressure, Dale Thomas, obviously, and I think with the whole world, you know, looking, he really delivered when he had to. And
well, a great mark and a vital goal right on the siren at the end of the second quarter. So imagine the feeling going into the rooms. Carlton knew they were still in it. And you're right, it did kind of set up the third quarter, which was a ripper.
Well, it was. It was. And, you know, I just think, you know, we can take so much away from it. Again, you know, there's another unsung hero there, I'd say, also. Sam Rowe. Now, he kept Jack Riewoldt to one against Richmond. Well, he kept the slate free, I think, with Hogan. And
well, you know, so much so that Hogan got very stroppy, as we know, and has just got 2 weeks for his trouble, hasn't he?
Very, very true. So I just think we're getting a lot out of a lot of players at the moment, but it's the youth that I think is really driving this team at the moment. That is the future of the Carlton Football Club, and it's magnificent to look on and see just where this team is heading on the backs of its youth. And long may it continue.
SPS's goal, first goal, did you notice players running from... Well, I thought at the rate it was going, Earl Spalding was going to run over from Perth to congratulate him.
What a great moment.
It was.
It was a great moment for him. And I guess, you know, you kick your first goal, it must be a settler. You know, you're breaking the ice and then perhaps you're not as conscious mentally of, you know, will the next one go through or not. You know, I think to get that one out of the road, it must be such a relief for a young player. And certainly, Samo has shown that in the first fortnight of his career, what he can bring to this group. And, you know, with Pickett also out there, I mean, these are two exciting players that we really look forward to seeing more of.
Let's talk about Marchbank. You know, a 2 weeks in, just looks completely comfortable on the G in front of big crowds.
Absolutely. A rebounding, you know, athletic key position defender who I think is going to really set Carlton up, you know, probably for the better part of the next decade. You know, I know they're totally different players, but just if you think back to, you know, 95, that great stellar year for the club, and, you know, Christou was the player that just set Carlton up
with long raking kicks
and his run and dash out of the defensive half of the ground. And I think we may have found a classic quintessential rebounding defender, an attacking defender that will really become an important player for the Carlton Football Club, much the same as, you know, Rance is considered the same at Richmond. So I really like him.
How will that work with when Kieran Byrne comes back? He provides much the same sort of role, doesn't he?
Well, I think Kieran Byrne off a halfback flank is going to, only add to that attacking, you know, that momentum that we're looking for out of our last line of defence. Admittedly, he'll play up the ground, probably halfback, but he showed until he did the knee just how attacking a player he actually is. And yes, his comeback can't happen quick enough, can it, Tony?
No.
We want him back in that starting 18.
I was at the game, obviously, so were you. It was heart-in-the-mouth stuff. Jack Silvani had that set shot. We could have been 16 points up. That's by the by. It's a matter of history now. But there was... this is a group that I guess has to learn, because I know, you know, Bolts described the game as the one that got away. To him, there was no, you know, you can't walk away saying, well, it was a noble defeat. It was a game that should have been won. So how do you feel about that Bolts assessment of the game and the fact that the playing group were close but not close enough?
Well, I think it was great that he really made a point of impressing that to the players that this was an opportunity lost, because the Carlton team is evolving, we understand that, but as you say, the team had actually worked hard enough to find itself in position going into the last quarter where it could actually, you know, record a pretty meritorious victory. That moment was gone, and a lot of lessons I think would have been learned in the aftermath of that of that performance. You know, the players were kept indoors for quite a while afterwards.
Ah, okay.
And so I'm sure that the message would have been imparted on the players that, look, we were in an we had an opportunity here to land 4 points and we didn't take it. So I think what comes of this is that with every quarter, perhaps every minute, every second of every game, current players are learning. You know, and this was just another salutary lesson that I'm sure they will pick up on and hopefully try to rectify so it doesn't happen again. But yes, they did come away, the players, quite disappointed, considering what might have been. You know, it was the team was on the cusp of one of the more significant victories in some time, and it wasn't to be.
But as you say, I mean, having gone through, say, a year or two or maybe even longer of blowouts, of being, I don't know, 3 or 4 goals off the pace, this was a competitive outfit and it was thrilling to be at a game. Carlton supporters were right in it.
I think you're right, what you're saying. Unfortunately, what we don't have at the moment is the consistency. Mm. But what we do have are moments of where the ball movement is magnificent to watch. The Bolton style of play is attacking and aggressive. The players, as we saw after the incident with Cripps and Lewis, are prepared to fly the flag.
Yeah.
And that tells me that this is a tight-knit group of players that play for each other. So there's just so much to like about the way these players are going about their business under the watch of a very good coach and teacher.
Mm. Just before we get on to previewing the Essendon game... how did you view Murphy's game?
Well, I think Murph will probably admit that there were a couple of, you know, errant disposals that might have proved costly in the final analysis. Mm. But look, Murphy's capacity to lead, you know, can't be questioned. And when I think of Murph, I've always thought that he was a player that never really tends to get the protection that he probably deserves.
Yeah.
He's a player that puts his head over the ball quite often for little return. Mm. And I just think, you know, he's a brave, extremely brave Carlton player. And I just think that, you know, if we can continue to get leadership from Murphy and his likes, it's going to reflect on the team well in totality. Because, as I said earlier, I think it's the young players that are really leading the way for Carlton at the moment. And I'm sure the older players like Murph and Gibbs and Simpson and whoever,
Darken.
They feed off that.
Yeah.
And that's good for Carlton, as I said, in its totality.
Now, before we get to previewing the game against Essendon, your 3 votes, Tony DeBolfo, for the Carlton-Melbourne game.
Look, I actually went with... I went with 1 vote. I gave Daisy Thomas.
Yep.
I thought Daisy was particularly brave, as I said earlier, in the way to come back from that pretty bad knock.
And, he's running backward with the flight of the ball,
wasn't
he?
It's that position no one wants to be in, and he committed himself. It was his turn to go, and he did, and all power to him. Under enormous pressure all week, I thought he was commendable. I gave 2 votes to Caleb Marchbank.
Yep.
Again, I think he's really showing with each game just how invaluable a player he's becoming for Carlton. Really like the way he plays, all that attacking, key position defender. And 3 votes I gave to his offsider, Lockie Plowman. And I think Lockie is, again, like Marchbank, seems to be going from strength to strength and really finding his place in this team. And I think Carlton is benefiting from a really tight-knit core of attacking defenders that are going to set us up for the long term. So all power to Lockie.
Well, not only that, Tone, but kept Melbourne to scoring under 100 points against us.
Well, they
us.
Did indeed. And might I say, I an honourable mention to Matthew Wright for his 3 goals, because
yes,
I thought
indeed.
He was terrific as well. But sorry, Matty, I couldn't quite fit you in this week.
Yeah, 3 goals to Jiffy Garlett as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
What did you? One of them was an absolute pearler, wasn't it?
Well, it was.
The forward pocket.
Well, and then no surprise, really, to those of us that saw him strutty stuff in dark navy.
Yeah.
It's, with Jeffrey, I always think of that running goal against Richmond in that final. Stick to my mind. But let's move on, Tony.
All right, let's do that. Well, Carlton, Essendon, they're back. They had a they had an interesting year last year. That happens when you run a supplement program of questionable legality. They have been in good form, though, and this is going to be a ding-dong struggle.
It will indeed, and the talk out of Tullamarine is that Matthew Lauenberger might win a recall, so that's obviously going to stretch Carlton's big man capability. Not sure where Andrew Phillips is at yet, but we desperately need him back. And one player I didn't acknowledge earlier, Tone, was Matthew Cruiser, and a great year he is having just because of the fact he's moving so freely, the legacy of a full pre-season. So Cruiser will have his work cut out this week, no doubt, but I've got full faith that, he'll be up to the task, and he's one of those senior players that truly is leading from the front. And I think a lot of players, both young and older, Carlton, are really feeding off that because they probably understand what he's been through these past 5 years with injury and so many setbacks, that they are to a man inspired by the way he's going about it. And it's great for Carlton that he's up and about, that's for sure. So, look, it'll be a tough call. You know, we're obviously still awaiting the time we go to air of the makeup of our team and who takes the field and who doesn't. You know, you know, it's been documented the Cripps and Sam Rowe, you know, got to be monitored. We hope they come up. But we'll need them all up and running, given that the Bombers, as you say, have won two from two starts. And let's not forget, Tony, that the reigning wooden spooners actually put us to the sword in the final game of last year, which was a lamentable end of the season.
It really was.
For the Carlton team and the Carlton faithful. So let's hope that the boys can turn it around and get the chocolates this week.
Carlton will be wearing the blue out Guernsey. Now, that has special significance for the suburb of Carlton, doesn't it?
Well, it does, because it's a lovely throwback to the bluestone of the back blocks of Carlton and its surrounds, Tony. And, you know, you look at some of the old streets that flank the old Carlton ground, Royal Parade, of course, the obvious one. But down to Lygon Street and Canning and all those lovely streets, Pigden and Garton Street and Rathdown, that, you know, were synonymous with Carlton and are so inextricably linked with the football club. I understand what the club was trying to do here and to, I suppose, reawaken the essence of Carlton and what and the power of suburbia and the relationship that a football team has with its own demographic. And we're both old enough to remember the days when league football was territorial. If you lived in Carlton, you supported Carlton, you played for Carlton, no correspondence entered into. So I think when we reflect on the Guernseys that the players wear this week, we keep that in mind. And it's a nice throwback to those who have come before that have given so much to this club. And Big Nick always says, you know, I am but passing the baton to the next person that will take this club forward. And I think that's what the players who wear this Guernsey have to understand when they run out in the bluestone top against Essendon this week.
Well said, Tony DeBolfo. Well said. Now, just quickly before we wind up, Big Nick is coming into the club this week.
Yes, I did mention Big Nick, Tony, and who would have thought that it's actually April the 20th this year, which marks the 60th anniversary of Big Nick's first game for the Carlton Football Club, our greatest ever player, ran out here at Princes Park on the 20th of April 1957 against Hawthorne, starting in the back pocket. His brother Don was playing in the centre. And I was speaking to Nick briefly about it last week, and he'd mentioned that he probably lasted about a quarter of a bit in the back pocket. Yeah. And then someone threw him up. I think it was Jim Francis, the coach, threw him into the ruck contest for the centre-outs. And basically, he never left there for the next 18 years. That was his domain. So Nick's coming into the club later in the week to reflect on that first game that he played, the first of 300 great games for the Carlton Football Club. Premiership player, premiership captain, coach, most capped Victorian player in history of the game. We'll never see his likes again. And still loves Carlton as much as he did when he first donned the famous number two Guernsey. He takes a great interest in the likes of Wittering and Marchbeck and how they're faring. Has every faith in the young kids and believes in what Brendan Bolton, the coaching committee, are trying to achieve here. And you know that if you've got Big Nick in your corner, that you know that the club's on the right track and things are tracking along all right, at least on the football field. So,
excellent.
All power to him. Look forward to renewing acquaintance with Nick on Thursday here at the club.
Well, it's an incredible anniversary. Good luck with that, Tone. The Two Tones will be back next week, I firmly hope and trust,
yes.
Discussing a victory against Essendon. They are always, last year's game aside, they are more often than not, I should say, exciting tussles and contests, and we certainly hope the one on Saturday results in a victory for Carlton.
It is Sunday, Tony. Well,
Sunday, I should say.
And
sorry,
it's a Carlton home game, excellent. So we want the Blue Faithful out in force. That's for sure, because you know there'd be nothing better than knocking the same olds, as they used to be called, yes. Over at the MCG.
They've been called other things in the last couple of years too, yes. Often by lawyers. So that's Carlton v Essendon, Sunday the 9th of April, MCG at 3:20. Remember the Blue Out Guernsey. We'll see you there. This has been the Two Tones with Tony DeBolfo.
Cheerio, Tone.
And Tony Moakley. We will catch you next week.